If we were to address the question, who or what is a Christian? Or maybe we would address it, what does it mean to be a Christian? I imagine we all could begin to share a personal thought concerning how becoming a follower of the Christ has affected us, how it has impacted our lives. But we want to look at more of an objective answer. From time to time, I have presented that question and answered that question from the Scriptures. And I've not done these lessons in a consecutive order. And seeing so, I want to go back and remind us, we've looked at aspects of being a Christian that the Bible tells us or compares being a Christian to being a saint and what it is a saint is, set apart. A Christian is a son. A Christian is a soldier. And number four, we looked at a Christian as a servant or slave. What I want us to do this morning is we think about what it is that the Bible says a Christian is. A comparison is to go into the Word of God and look at the fact that it portrays Christians or children of God as sheep. The word sheep is found in an excess of 220 times in our Bibles. Many of the times it's a reference to the literal animal of a sheep. Sheep are very common, and being a shepherd, in fact, the very first shepherd named is that of Abel in Genesis chapter 4. And I suppose one of the best known shepherds in our Bible is the great King David, 1 Samuel 16. At that time, in Bible times, one's wealth was measured by how many sheep and other livestock they may have owned. For example, we read about Job. In the beginning, he possessed 7,000 sheep, chapter 1 and verse 3. And after his great affliction and the Lord restored to him, he then owned 14,000 sheep. He was a very wealthy man. Genesis chapters 20 and 21, we see sheep given as a payment. And the Passover involved a sheep, a lamb, to be a year old, without spot, without blemish, to be a sacrifice, which is a type of our Lord. John chapter 1 and verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And Jesus is announced in Revelation chapter 5 as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And when John looked, he saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain. The Bible numerous times compares God's people under the Old Covenant as well as the New to sheep. So let's look at this and see what we can learn. See how this applies to us and how it can help us in being a Christian. I want to begin with a character in the nature of sheep. And I wanted to be fair. I'm not a shepherd. I don't have any experience in tending to sheep or an expert in sheep. So I began to do some research. And there's some basic stuff I imagine we all know and all are aware. They're a type of animal that needs someone to care for them, to provide for their needs, to protect them from the attack of an enemy, such as a lion. They have no self-defense, no built-in self-defense. They have no sense of direction. They need guidance. It's not uncommon for sheep to wander away from the flock or the fold and become lost and unable to find their way back safely. Generally, a sheep is a very docile, non-aggressive animal. We can make comparison to that in our sports teams. Teams are often named the Lions and the Bears and the Tigers, and no one names a football or baseball or whatever team the Lambs or the Sheep. They're very gentle and docile. Sheep are the type of animal that completely depends upon a shepherd. Now, with that in mind, I want to draw a distinction here. And you remember in Matthew chapter 25, as Jesus is talking to His disciples, and the context of the discussion in chapter 25 is the second coming, and He emphasizes, beginning in middle of chapter 24, all the way through chapter 25, our need to be prepared for the second coming. And in doing so, in verse 31, He makes the declaration, the Son of Man will come in His glory. And there's that analogy. He will divide the sheep from the goats. Have you ever stopped and thought about that? I'm not a shepherd. I'm not an expert on animals. And you know, in my mind, that's not very hard to do, right? Why is it that it's dependent upon the Lord to make that division? I did a little bit of research on this, and I want to share with you the writing of one man, and he was more knowledgeable, and I just share some thoughts. He says, referring to Jesus, he compares the elect, that is God's people, children of God, to sheep because of their innocence, modesty, humility, obedience, and patience. The reprobate, the non-Christian, he compares to goats because this creature has a rotten or putrid smell. It is fierce, immodest, lascivious. It walks in precipitousness places and is quarrelsome. He goes on to say, in North America, sheep and goats are easily distinguishable, as we call to our mind as we get that image. Due to the specialization through breeding, sheep are fluffy and woolly, goats are not. However, he goes on to say, throughout history and still today in parts of Asia and Africa, sheep and goats are almost identical. And no one but a shepherd can easily tell the difference. So the application here for the parable would be that outward conformity, being a part of the herd, isn't all that's required of us. I want to pause there a minute. And sometimes our mentality is, my name has been placed in a role or a directory, and I attend from time to time, and I'm a sheep. And rightfully, he makes this very good point that just simply considering ourselves part of the herd does not make us right with God. He goes on in conclusion and says, there is something that only our shepherd can see in us, and that unseen things tell God whether we are sheep or goats. It determines whether God sorts us to the left or the right. I want to add to this Jesus' teaching when He said, by their fruits you shall know them. I don't believe it's the case that you can't tell the difference. But it's not just merely outward. Some other things that I found concerning sheep and goat. One website describes sheep as dependent on their shepherd and defenseless. Goats, on the other hand, have a reputation for being independent, opinionated, and curious at best, or vulgar, dangerous, and destructive at worst. It says that one shepherd described the goats as Jack Russell Terriers, and for those of us that's ever owned one of those little critters, you know what he's talking about. He described goats as Jack Russell Terriers with hooves. Another man said, if your fence won't hold water, it won't hold a goat. Shepherds protect sheep from their environment, whereas goat herds, if I pronounce that correctly, protect the environment from the goats. So for us to be God's sheep, we must be dependent on Him to defend us. If we push, take, destroy, or bully, we are goats. The central difference between sheep and goats, a sheep is led by the shepherd, and a goat herd is led by the goats. Now, I want you to file that away. A sheep is one following the shepherd. A goat's one that's doing the leading. My way. I'll do it how I want to do it. Go where I want to go. Sheep are very social animals. They're part of a flock or a fold, as sometimes referred. And it's more just than for protection. They form relationships, very close friendships, one with another. Now, let's take these characteristics and carry them over in, from the Word of God and see some of these things. And we begin with the aspect of the sheep's need for a shepherd. You think about it, God, He's always provided, hasn't He? From the very beginning of time, He has given to man what we need. At no time could the charge be made that God failed us in anything or in any way. And as the description of being a sheep, we know that God has provided. Going back to the old law, the children of Israel, God gave them leaders, and from time to time the prophets referred to them as shepherds. Go with me back to the book of Jeremiah. I want to look at a few passages here, and I will do my best to give you time to turn to these. In the book of Jeremiah, I want to start with a few verses here in chapter 50, first of all, Jeremiah 50, and I want to look at verse number 6. Jeremiah 50, verse number 6. Jeremiah talking about the children of Israel, speaking on behalf of God, says, "My people have been lost sheep." Context of Jeremiah is concerning their sin and God sending them into captivity. Jeremiah speaking for God said, "My people have been lost sheep." Their shepherds, the leaders God provided for them, their shepherds have led them astray. He didn't say that the shepherds just got distracted or got busy and allowed them to wander off. You think about the impact of that and the responsibility. Their shepherds led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountain. Perhaps a reference to idolatrous worship. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forsaken their resting place. Drop down to verse 17. He says, "Israel is like scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First the king of Assyria devoured him. Now at last this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has broken his bones." Go back to chapter 13 of the same book, Jeremiah 13. In verse number 20, Jeremiah 13 and verse 20, Jeremiah says, "Lift up your eyes and see those who come from the north. Where is the flock that was given to you?" Speaking to the shepherds, where is the flock that was given to you? Your beautiful sheep. God had given them the responsibility of tending to His sheep, and He then calls them to give an accountability. Where are they? Over in chapter 23 of Jeremiah, in verse number 1, God says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture," says the Lord. In the book of Ezekiel, there's an entire chapter, and I'm only going to read part of it. The book of Ezekiel, the chapter is 34, and if you'll notice beginning in verse 1, again, I encourage you to read the whole chapter. There's a transition beginning about verse 11 that shows them the responsible shepherd. It shows them the coming shepherd. God is their shepherd. But in verse 1, Ezekiel, in captivity, said, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. They became food for all the beasts of the field, and they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherd search for my flock, But the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed the flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. And again, verse 11 continues to show God is the great shepherd. Zechariah chapter 10, similar thought. The idols speak desolation. The diviners envision lies and tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore the people wend or wander about like sheep. They are in trouble because there is no shepherd. Now I read that and I think about now. We don't live under Judaism. God provided guidance for His people. He designated what is referred to as shepherds to lead, and they failed. And God held them accountable. Well, what about us? You're well aware of the fact that there is a description of shepherds for the Lord's church, elders. Let me start at an unusual place, Psalm 95. Psalm 95, David is writing about the wandering in the wilderness. Now, I want you to listen to this. Psalm 95, I want to begin at verse 6. I'm going to tell you why I'm going to Psalm, because that's under the old covenant, isn't it? Yes. Psalm 95, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. We, the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. So there's the analogy. As David is writing this concerning the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and wandering in the wilderness, we are His sheep. Today we say that. Watch verse number 7 continue. Today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me and tried me, though they saw my works. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my way. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Do those words sound familiar? Because whoever it is that penned the book of Hebrews quoted these verses and applied it to Christians going back to that dead law. What is it? Wandering sheep. Why? Is there no shepherd? Paul met with the elders of the church of Ephesus on the Isle of Miletus. And you remember what he said in Acts 20 and verse 28. And put a bookmark here. I want to come back to that passage in a moment. In verse 28, he told those elders to feed the flock. The King James, some translations use the word shepherd. And it is the verb for shepherd. An action. To shepherd. To lead. To guide, to provide, to protect. Shepherd the flock, which He purchased with His own blood. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have a rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they are, for they watch for our souls as they that must give an account. I believe as elders of the church, men ought to take serious heed to the responsibility given to them. Congregations where there are no elders, no men qualified, the men of the congregation are serving that capacity. It's not as God designed, but it is our responsibility. Let's briefly look at the sheep's needs and begin with provisions. I did not go. There's two passages that immediately popped into my mind, and I'm not going to spend much time there because I've done separate sermons on both of them. Psalm 23. I bet you already thought about that great psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know that psalm is from the standpoint of a sheep, even though that word is not found in that psalm. And it implies that we are sheep, and our trust and confidence that we have in the great shepherd. The shepherds of Israel, what did they do? They led them astray. They led them to destruction. The Lord is my shepherd, David said. I know that He will guide me. I'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil, he said. Confidence in the shepherd, because he knows he will provide. Then there's John 10, I am the good shepherd. And the viewpoint of that is the trust we can have in Him. In verses 11 through 13 and verse 15, it portrays Jesus, the Good Shepherd, willing to give His life. And unlike the hireling that'll turn and flee, when we follow the Christ as our Shepherd, I will give my life, I'll lay down my life for the sheep. There's that close personal relationship that He has with. Verse number 14, I know my sheep and am known by my own. The unity, there's that strength. I would hate to think that I'm there all by myself. What a terrifying thought. There will be one flock and one shepherd. The protection. Go back to Acts 20. Acts chapter 20, we're familiar with verse number 28. We cite it many times. But notice what He said after this. To God's shepherds for the church, elders. Look at verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, and draw away disciples after them. There's the warning to elders, you better lead God's people as He would have you to lead. Why? Because of the dangers. Grievous wolves. Matthew 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, inwardly they're ravening wolves. There's danger. As a Christian, there's many dangers. We need that protection, guidance. The great Isaiah 53, about the suffering servant. And in verse 6 it begins, all we like sheep have gone astray. This is what Paul said in Romans chapter 3. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. We as sheep have wandered away. We need a shepherd to guide us in the right way, to bring us back to safety. Psalm 119, verse 176, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandment. David recognized the dangers and the fact that he, as a human, has wandered away, and he knows to whom he needs to turn. There's the key to it. You know what's the problem with people in the world? They don't know where to go. I see people all around. They're searching for something. They realize that something's missing. They're lost. They just don't know where to go. In Matthew 9, verse 36, Jesus looks about, and I can only in my mind's eye see the imagery. He sees the crowd of people. Though He's looking at Jewish people, God's people. And in 9:36 of Matthew, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them. Why? Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. You read through the gospel account and it's obvious that the religious leaders of Jesus' day failed miserably in leading the people, just like in Jeremiah's day. Sheep are going to wander. And I want you to look at heaven's perspective. Go back to Luke chapter 15. Give you a moment to turn there. This is the lost parables. And there's something interesting here that I want to lay out for you to think about and consider. Give me your feedback if you'd like to do that. But it's something that's been came to my attention as I was reading and studying a number of years ago. Let me say, I'll give you a minute to turn to Luke 15. We missed the whole point of this. There's three things described as lost. There's sheep, there's a coin, and there's a son. And that parable is not given to teach us about repentance and restoration, although it does that. If you look at the background of this parable, Jesus tells the reason He's telling it. And the emphasis is on the lousy attitude of that elder son when the younger son comes home. Come back to the beginning of the chapter and see how that fits in. Chapter 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners to hear Him. Who are they? They are the people, the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're not worthy of salvation. And they came to Jesus. Verse 2, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He's the lowest scum of the earth. That's the way they viewed our Lord. Verse 3, and He spake this parable, not parables. He spake this parable. And we sometimes think it's three parables, but I wonder by the wording of Luke's own hand that these is emphasizing something lost in all three of them as a unit. And the emphasis is this: the preciousness of that which is lost. You got children, one of them wander away, aren't you heartbroken? Aren't they valuable to you? You lose some money, aren't you heartbroken because money has value? You lose, if you're a shepherd, a sheep. Keep reading verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and goeth after that which is lost until he finds it? Do you notice that? He goes looking. Not just looking around, well, I don't see it anywhere. I've got 99 more. He looks until he finds it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise, here's the comparison, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Here these publicans and sinners, the religious leaders said they're unworthy. Jesus said they're like sheep that's gone astray. And that shepherd finds them, and it is so precious. That one sinner that is willing to repent, God is rejoicing. The angels of heaven is rejoicing. Matthew 26, right before the crucifixion, verse 31, Jesus said to His apostles, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, He goes back into Old Testament and He says, I'll strike the shepherd, Zechariah, I believe, I'll strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. He is predicting what's about to happen. And in that very same text, He goes on where Peter said, I'll never deny you. And He said, every one of you tonight. And exactly as the Lord said, they fled. They turned away. And in John 21, after the resurrection, I imagine the events that took place from His arrest until the resurrection had a profound effect on these disciples and the days that they walked with Him. But in John 21, verse number 16, Jesus told Peter to, depending your translation you're using, to feed my sheep or tend my sheep, or some say shepherd my sheep. He announced to them that the sheep will be scattered this night. And that's exactly what happened. And then He charged them to shepherd the sheep. Peter could do so with experience as an apostle, couldn't he? He knew what it was like. Let me make this final application. The lesson will be yours. We know the Bible makes it clear that Jesus is the good shepherd, as He claimed in John 10. As we alluded at the beginning, He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That is, He became our sacrifice. I want you to take those two thoughts. He's compared to be the Lamb of God. He's compared to be the shepherd. What better person would know sheep to be a shepherd than a sheep? Our Lord became submissive, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was a sheep. He was the Lamb of God, a sacrifice. He overcame death to give us power to overcome death. And when we, by our obedience, are washed in that precious blood, He purchases us from our sins and He is our guide. Hebrews 4, verse 15, He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knows. He knows where we are. He knows how to lead us. Go over to 1 Peter and I'll close it out with this. And I think sometimes, I was talking to Brother Bill about studying the Bible and how important context is. 1 Peter chapters 2 and 3. I want you to think about the thrust of this. Peter's writing to Christians suffering not because they did evil. If you do that, you deserve to suffer. If you're suffering because you're following the Christ, because you're doing what is right in the sight of God, don't be ashamed. Glorify God. Endure. And in chapter 2, there's a thrust as you look at the word submit. Submit to government. Slaves, submit to your master. And interesting, right in the middle of that, he talks about Christ suffered for us, became our example that we should follow in His steps. And in verse 25, listen to him. For you were like sheep going astray, but now I have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. And that chapter division put there by man, based on that, the fact that we should submit and we have the perfect example of submission, we have the perfect example of suffering, he continues the thought into chapter 3. Wives, likewise wives, be submissive. What's the point of this analogy? Here's the grand conclusion that if you didn't get anything else from what I said this morning, if you're a Christian, you're a sheep. And as a sheep, you must be submissive. Because Matthew 25 says that if I'm trying to lead, then I'm a goat. I'm going the wrong way. Are you a Christian? Only one way to become a Christian. We outline it week after week. That by your faith you're willing to obey the Lord who paid the price for our sins, that we by our faith repent of sins, confess Him before others, are immersed into water where the blood that washes away the stain of sin is applied. We are raised to walk in newness of life. We become a child of God, a Christian, and we are now a sheep. And you know what the world said? The vast majority says, I don't want to be a sheep. Right? Why? Because I don't want to submit. I like to do it my way. I like to be in charge. I don't want to be a sheep. I want to be a lion. The Bible says we are sheep and we submit to the great shepherd because the only hope we have in this world to survive is to submit to the shepherd, to let Him guide us. If you're not a Christian today, why not? Why not come to Jesus, the only Savior, the true shepherd? As a child of God, sometimes Satan gets into our head and plants that seed of stubbornness and we turn away to our own way. We need to humble ourselves in repentance, return to the great shepherd and the overseer of our soul. If you're a subject this morning, we're here to assist. If you're willing to make it known by coming, as together we stand and as we sing.